The Postal Service's financial crunch means that it is delivering mail with some very old trucks. Nearly all of its 190,000 vehicles are gas guzzlers from the 1990s. Now, this is the type of problem that keeps Tom Day up at night. He is the Postal Service's Chief Sustainability Officer, and he joins us now to talk about the trucks. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
So, first of all, I just want to know, how big is your gas bill?
We pay just under $540 million a year for the gas for the vehicles inside the Postal Service.
All right, so that's a pretty good tab. And now these are 1990s era. I thought some of them were even older than that. Is the problem with the fleet that you have that it's old and wearing out, or that it's gas guzzlers, or maybe both?
Probably a little bit of both. It's a fleet that we bought in the late 80s to early 90s, so they're going on about 25 years old plus. And yes, they are gas guzzlers. That's an old gasoline engine that's in that vehicle, and it's certainly something we'd like to address and replace.
Do you know how many miles to the gallon it gets?
We're under 10 miles a gallon, roughly about 7.5. But let me explain that. It's the type of driving we do. We do very short distances. Our typical delivery route on average is only about 18 miles a day. And we make roughly 600 stops. So it's a lot of stop and go. And yet, overall, during the course of the year, on average, we only consume about 750 gallons per vehicle.
So lots of stop and go. Okay, that's not something that necessarily leads to energy efficiency. But as I was referring to, this must be the type of problem that just gnaws away at someone with the title of Chief Sustainability Officer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every year when we put out our annual sustainability report, I can tell you we have lots of wonderful things to report. We're doing great things with energy consumption in our buildings and water reductions and waste reduction and movement to recycling, all of that. And the one big red dot that pops out is fuel consumption. We're just not driving it down. We're doing everything we can to be as efficient as possible about how we organize our routes. Even adding all the deliveries that we do, we've kept our mileage essentially the same for the last 4 to 5 years. But all that said, we've got this aging fleet, and our fuel consumption just keeps heading up.
Yeah, I wanted to delve into that a little bit, how you optimize routes. Do you use some kind of GPS technology to make sure that, or, you know, do you make sure the trucks always go downhill? How does it work?
Downhill would be a good idea. I got to make sure we try that one. What we do is, between our delivery program staff and our engineering system staff, they truly do use state-of-the-art technology, software that evaluates our route structure, looks at the geography, makes sure that the path of travel is as efficient as possible. And so, yes, we do put that in place. And we add about 800,000 deliveries per year. And as we've done that, as I said, despite that addition of number of households and residents and businesses that we serve, we're keeping our mileage essentially the same. It's really not crept up at all. And again, I give credit to our delivery and engineering staff for using state-of-the-art software to make sure we're as efficient as possible.
So tell us about we know that you've got some pretty big challenges, but tell us about your overall strategy. How are you going to eventually replace this fleet with something that gets better than 7 miles to the gallon?
Well, there's basically two parts to that story, and the first is the big picture for the Postal Service, which is to improve our financial position. It's really the hottest topic we have here, and it's working with Congress and the administration to make sure we can get legislation that takes care of, unfortunately, the law that was passed in 2006 has caused us serious financial troubles. We've got to get that addressed. And when we do, that will free up the cash and capital to do what we need to do, which is to replace this fleet that is 25 years old.
And just for clarification, that law you're referring to is the one that requires the Postal Service to pay in advance for retirees' health care.
Yes, the financially the biggest impact was the prepayment of retiree health benefits, and that's been quite a burden for us. The payments are still there. We've defaulted on those for the last couple of years, and so that's what's caused us significant financial loss. That said, what we are doing inside the Postal Service is to stay on top of the ever-changing technology that's available for vehicles. So we do keep an active effort to look at electric vehicles, compressed natural gas vehicles, even more fuel-efficient vehicles, flex fuel. We look at the whole realm, and it's an area that's changing rapidly. So what will drive what we finally purchase is, one, when we can get the financial situation corrected, but two, when we get the money, what's the best technology available at that point in time? So what's actually going to be under the hood is yet to be determined.
We're speaking with Tom Day. He's the Postal Service's Chief Sustainability Officer. And I guess one of the questions must be durability, because sometimes new technology comes out and you really don't know whether it'll last 25 years. One thing you can say about the trucks driving around now, they're basic, but they keep going.
That's true. And I think the other reality of what we're going to need to do with our next group of vehicles that we purchase is not only what's under the hood in terms of technology, and there's a wide array of what we could do to be more fuel efficient and reduce our impact in the environment, but also we need to take a serious look at the basic configuration of the vehicle. Our business is changing. We see a decline in traditional mail volumes, bill statements being mailed to consumers, magazines, catalogs. It's showing us a steady decline. We're keeping that as slow as possible and retaining the business where we can. But what we are seeing is a steady growth in packages. And when your product that you're delivering is changing like that, we're taking a serious look at what's the right configuration for the vehicle itself.
Well, are any of your competitors, I don't want to say doing it better, but do they have more advanced vehicles than you do?
I do keep an eye on, and if you say competitors, let's look in the package business, UPS and FedEx. They have been doing some things with compressed natural gas in particular, some electric. They do it on a test basis. It's not their entire fleet, and we certainly do keep an eye on what they're using. It's a good benchmark for us to determine what might make the best sense for us when we finally do get the funds to replace our fleet. It's not fleet wide for them. They're doing it in a test basis and a little broader than we do. We certainly do some testing. We've got about 500 compressed natural gas vehicles that we use as well. And what I see with FedEx and UPS is a bit beyond that.
I was going to say, do you confer with them and talk to them directly? I know they're competitors, but you also are a contractor to them and them to you in some cases. So do you ever like get together and say, how can we solve this as a group?
We do talk. I mean, it's one of the things the attorneys warn you about is collaboration with competition. This is a collaborative effort that's pre-competitive, I guess is the way they phrase it. But yes, I do talk with counterparts. I do run into them at a variety of sustainability conferences to understand what they're doing, where they can, and they do. They publicize what they're working on, so we keep an eye on it. So there's a bit of collaboration that goes on there, but when you're in a competitive world, there are some limits on how much you can collaborate.
And tell us about your talks or your survey of the auto industry in terms of finding those that might be able to ramp up production on whatever the mail delivery truck of the future is going to look like.
What it comes down to is you find that most of the major manufacturers, and I don't want to preclude that none of them will participate, but most don't, because what we have to get is a right-hand drive vehicle. Much of what we're talking about here, not 100%, but much of it, are letter carriers that go out in vehicles that deliver from the right side. So they go to the curbside, and rather than getting out, they just literally reach out the window. While a right-hand drive vehicle is not the standard of what's produced on a production line for U.S. automakers, and it's quite expensive for them to shut down, retool, set up for right-hand drive, and then shut down again and retool and go back to left-hand drive. So when we purchased vehicles back in the late 80s and early 90s, we actually wound up using what I would call a second-tier manufacturer who was able to set up a dedicated production line at a fairly steady pace. We would not not replace the entire fleet in one single year. We'd probably take 3 to 5 years, so you're probably looking at 30 to 50,000 per year. So you set up a production line that meets that kind of throughput. And again, that's likely what's to happen again, and it's driven by the fact that our setup is a right-hand drive vehicle.
What about Japan? How do they do it?
Well, that's a different issue, and what you wind up with is certainly in Japan, Australia, England, they're doing right-hand drive production for standard vehicles that they produce. However, the U.S. Postal Service, in the role as a quasi-federal agency, not under the executive branch directly, we still do comply with the Buy America. So as we purchase, we're looking at vehicles that will be manufactured here in the United States.
And I guess the big question is, since you're waiting on Congress to give you some financial relief, your current trucks are going to give way eventually. Can you do anything without this huge infusion of cash?
Well, we have been doing. It's not cheap, but we do obviously maintain the fleet. When we have a failure, when you get into 20 to 25 year old vehicles and 20 to 25 year old engines and transmissions, some of them just do flat out fail. So we do engine and transmission replacement as appropriate. That obviously gives us a benefit. It's not a long term solution, but it does help short term, and it gives you a more fuel efficient engine underneath that hood to help there. But it's not done in a significant enough quantity that it's helping us to get the overall fuel consumption number to go down.
Tom Day is the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Postal Service. As always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.